This is episode 2 of The Source, looking back at some of the weird and wacky stories that may not have made the headlines during the week. Ahead this episode, microwavable slippers are here to keep your feet feeling extra warm and toasty this winter.
And how much would you pay for the ultimate slice of toast? There's a pricey device that's dividing opinion.
And a man in California was arrested dressed only in his underwear after he was filmed jumping onto the side of a speeding wine tanker on a freeway.
Plus a whole heap more thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
The weird and wacky week that was. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
This is episode 2 of The Source with Cindy and Daz, looking at some of the weird and wacky stories that you might have missed during the week.
Thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. I tell you what, Byron Bay Peanut Butter are my most favourite people in the whole world right now.
Oh, I don't feel offended by that at all.
I love a good peanut butter. Now, for our listeners, last episode we talked about some of the things you can do with peanut butter. Now, I love watching the socials from Byron Bay Peanut Butter and some of the people that have been buying the product and what they're building with the peanut butter. Now, last week we spoke about how I loved peanut butter and banana.
Yep.
And you were welcome to the world of peanut butter and banana over the weekend. Give us your thoughts out of 10.
I wasn't sure about it as we were speaking about it until I put that little baby down my gob. And I've got to tell you, that was amazing.
It disappeared pretty quick.
I've always had banana on toast. Like, that's just been my kind of, you know, I don't know, what do you call it? Your staple kind of banana breakfast. Go-to. Yeah. Never had peanut butter on it, let alone Byron Bay peanut butter. Amazing.
What we should ask our very good friends at Byron Bay Peanut Butter is, can you put peanut butter into banana bread? Because I kind of find that I'm a bit of a banana bread entrepreneur now.
Enthusiast.
In my own home.
Right.
I'd be the only banana bread entrepreneur here.
Yes.
But I wonder if you can put peanut butter in. I haven't seen that yet. Maybe I'll ask them.
Oh.
Maybe it's in their new cookbook.
We'll keep an eye out for that.
We've got a whole heap of great stories we've come across that you might not have found in your Facebook feed.
Now,
might not have been on the front page of the Herald.
Might not have been, but we're here to help you out.
And we're here to help.
You can thank me later for this because microwavable slippers are here.
Oh, so what?
Microwavable slippers.
So I've instantly gone to Futurama or the Jetsons.
Ah.
So they're putting a pill, a little tablet or a pill into the microwave and it goes kapoof.
Yeah, no.
And all of a sudden, no?
There's no kapoofs in any microwave that I'm aware of.
No kapoofs, okay.
But I don't know about you. If my feet are cold, my whole demeanour is going to be cold.
Oh, yes.
Are you aware?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Are you?
Well and truly.
It's awkward in here, isn't it?
Very much so.
There's nothing better, though, than slipping your feet into some warm, nice little slippers and your PJs at the end of a day. Mm-hmm. Or just pop them on in the morning to go to work with at the moment while we're in ISO, because that's what I've been doing.
And the whole audience knows how you're dressing for your business attire.
Hey, only
slippers
see,
on, jammies yeah. on, yep. bottom half, no doubt.
Shoulders up from Zoom, that's all you need to see. So you can pop your slippers in the microwave and you can heat them up. Now, I'm going to call this a game changer. Because I feel like that's what it is.
You called peanut butter and banana a game changer. So you're grouping them together.
Oh, look, this is up. It's up there. It's pretty big.
Right. Pretty cool.
Now, do not freak out because it is not one of those things where you're thinking you're putting your filthy shoes in the microwave. They actually have a silicone bead pack built into the slippers.
Right.
So it's not stinky shoes that you're popping in the microwave and then you chuck your eggs in afterwards.
Gotcha.
Actually, that'd be worse, wouldn't it?
A little.
Saying that was a really bad example.
You're painting a terrible picture.
Yeah, no. What you're going to do is take the silicone pack out, you throw it in the microwave for a minute and 30 seconds, and then you slide that little baby back into the bottom of the sole, and that is it. Hello, warm feet.
And it doesn't say what temperature level it gets to, just a toasty, balmy, Caribbean-style
temperature. It's actually a really
temperature.
Good point, because now I'm thinking maybe if it's too hot, which is what I would do, I'd end up with blisters all over my feet. I can see it now.
Because you're not a socks person, are you? You don't wear socks much.
Really? No, I prefer not to. But this is, like, why would you when you can just put your silicone bead pack in your slippers? I wonder if they can transfer into your shoes.
I tell you what, there's nothing better than rocking, say, the beach area at summer with your socks and sandals on.
Wow. Oh. Wow.
No, it's not a picture you want to paint. I don't want to paint any more than that.
Can't get out of my head the picture of you with your slippers on. Now, do you wear slippers out of the house, yes or no?
Years ago I would have. Mm. I would have gone down to the supermarket with my slippers on. With my moccasins on.
Yeah. I think there's
but not with my big claw, barefoot claw slippers that I have now. No, I wouldn't. No, it would be very hard to drive with them on as well.
I think shoe etiquette has relaxed in ISO as well. Everyone's up in the supermarket in
Everything's
their pajamas.
Relaxed in ISO at the moment.
So true.
Including my belt buckle.
You can get you can get these slippers in pink or taupe, which is brown, like for those playing at home.
It's like a fancy-dancy way of saying brown.
It is.
Class.
And one of the things I want to talk about with these slippers just a little bit more is something that blows my tiny little mind is that they are one size fits all. Like, I don't understand that because your feet are a hell of a lot bigger than what my feet are.
Well, you slipped into my slippers very comfortably
this
morning, kept your toes nice and warm as piggies were heading off to market. They were nice and warm, weren't they?
If I was going to work with those, they'd be an OH&S issue because I would fall over them because I were that big. These babies here, unsponsored, we are not condoned. These guys have not paid us to say
not
this.
Not affiliated?
Not at all, but they're $50 if you want to have a look at them. They're on Kogan.com or, of course, Dick Smith because he's got to get his face over everything.
Kogan sell televisions.
I really.
Now they're doing slippers. Good one, Kogan.
Slippers, but they look pretty cool. My birthday's coming up, just saying.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'll make note of that.
All right.
There's no birthdays. They're all cancelled in 2020.
No, they're not.
Well, I'm starting a new trend.
Okay.
Now, talking about toasty warm, there is a new device that is just dividing the internet. The ultimate slice of toast, if you don't mind, for 657 Australian.
What?
A toaster.
Yeah.
Is claiming. It's a big claim in the inverted commas. Ultimate slice of toast, hefty price tag, is splitting the internet. Now, toast is a pretty simple thing to whip up, really.
Yep.
Although I've been known to burn quite a bit of toast.
Okay.
It's not really much that can go wrong. So certainly don't have to be a Michelin-starred chef to make it, really.
Okay.
And all you need to do, for the people who haven't done this before and you haven't put toast in a toaster, you just get a slice of bread, you put it in the toaster or under the grill or griller.
Or gorilla. Yeah.
Gorilla. Crisp it up until it's just the way you like it. Now, some people like it just right. Some people like it a little bit burnt.
Or you can do it on the pan in butter. Oh, amazing.
I didn't say that here anyway, but you could do that way. But how much would you be willing to pay for the ultimate slice of toast? I'll come back to that question.
Okay.
A Japanese company named Balmuda have been selling a cult toaster for the last few years, which recently has made its way over to Amazon.
What is that? Is it the brand name?
It's the, no, it's a cult. It's people are following it.
Oh.
They've gone nuts over it. Cult figure, as in toaster circles.
Oh, one in.
Known simply as, now this will get you. Now, we know how important marketing departments are.
Yep.
Spend thousands of dollars on a really good marketing campaign. These marketing gurus of the Japanese company named Balmuda have sat down for days, weeks probably, to come up with the ultimate name for this cult toaster.
Okay.
So what do you think they come up with?
Oh, who knows? It's going to be good.
The toaster is simply known as the toaster.
What?
That's the name of it, the toaster. After hours and hours of spitballing.
Really?
The expensive device cost $657 Australian. Now, before it headed over to Amazon, it was £348.
What else does it
sterling
do?
Sterling pound. Well, it almost sings to you. One, I hope it would do that. Give you a back massage. Claims to be the ultimate toaster to achieve the best flavour and texture. But how much would you be willing to pay for that bit of toast?
Flavour and texture. It's toast.
The secret of the toaster is that it uses unique steam technology to heat the bread, which the manufacturers say results in the flavour and texture of freshly baked bread, straight out of the bakehouse, if you don't mind. Out of the bakehouse, sir. How does it do that, you might ask?
Oh, how does it do that, I'm asking.
Great question.
Thank you.
Well, apparently a thin layer of steam envelopes the bread, lightly toasting its surface while keeping its inner moisture, you love that word, and flavour from escaping.
This is where the marketing team came in because you had me at enveloping. The moisture was enveloping.
That's that word again. The moisture. All you have to do is put a teaspoon of water into the top of the machine and insert your bread and it takes care of the rest.
Ah.
It'll even go and pay your bills. It'll go and do your shopping for you.
All right.
It doesn't do that.
I don't understand. Now, it's a toaster.
Well, this is the ultimate toaster. Now, it doesn't look like many of the toasters have been sold on Amazon as yet. Doing a bit of research, only one review on the site.
Oh.
But people all over the world have been divided over the item for quite a while now. And on the US Amazon page, there are more than 150 reviews for the product, with the majority of them being 5-star, if you don't mind. That's a big endorsement.
Okay.
One person said the toaster was worth the money and easy to use, writing, yes, it's pricey, but it makes great toast. It also has other settings for cheese toast. I know you love cheese toast. And other types of bread and rolls. I brought this for my 85-year-old mom.
Did you say it makes bread and rolls? Because if you just said that, I've got a totally different vision of what this thing looks like now.
It has settings for different types of bread and rolls, correct?
Okay, so now I'm thinking it might be like a little conventional oven or something like that, because I was thinking
it kind of looks like that.
One of your push down on the side lever things. I mean, yours is broken because it was like probably $7 from the supermarket.
It's broken because you're just a little bit, it's not a DeLonghi.
It's cheap.
Another commented, I was not sure first on whether the spend of $300 on a toaster oven was worth it. Now, it's $300 over in the US.
Mm.
But now it's changed my world, you said. He or she has said.
Might be something that you could make mini pizzas and stuff in as well.
This is the best purchase I've ever made in my life. The balance between crispness and softness of bagel / toast is really good. My kids immediately notice that the bagels taste much better compared to the ones toasted in our old conventional two-slice toaster.
Mm.
So my question again, if you had the money and you had the time and the patience, how much would you pay for the ultimate slice of toast?
I think it depends on how pretty it's going to look on the kitchen bench.
Oh, it'd look pretty.
Do you reckon?
Be great for Instagram, I would imagine.
Ah, you got me. Coming up next, Heinz have taken an ISO activity to a new level. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz.
An important message from the Victorian government about coronavirus. To help us make informed decisions about restrictions and slow the spread of coronavirus, testing has been widened to include anyone who's showing mild flu-like symptoms, has a sore throat, a runny nose, a cough, or a cold. If you think you may have coronavirus, get tested and save lives. For more information, including where to get tested, visit coronavirus.vic.gov.au. Victorian Government. Managing this together.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, with huge thanks to our best buddies, Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
Byron Bay Peanut Butter. Now, Byron Bay in itself is a lovely place. You've ever been to Byron Bay?
No, but I think I need to. Like, I'm not joking. I'm not just saying this. I was talking about going the other day.
Byron Bay is one of those places that everybody needs to go to. Kind of like Bondi Beach.
Yeah.
Surfers Paradise, yeah. Ayers Rock, you know, yeah. There's places around Australia that you've got, and Byron Bay is so chilled out.
I've never been.
It's almost like you're stepping back in time.
Yeah.
And then you go walk up to the lighthouse, which is just beautiful, great shots up there. Very iconic. Love Byron Bay. Now, coming up this little segment, man, there's a man over in the UK has transformed his garden shed into something all the guys out there are going to love, and it's got a special piece of equipment in there you're going to really fall in love with. I think you might like it.
Really? All right, but first of all, I want to talk to you about Heinz Sauce. They have created an ISO activity that is fun for the whole family.
Heinz have.
Or is it?
We don't know yet.
Well, they have made what people are calling the slowest jigsaw puzzle on Earth, with all 570 pieces the same red colour. There's no picture on it.
I'm just trying to get my head around this. So it's a jigsaw puzzle with 500 and how many?
570.
570 pieces and they're all red.
Red. There's no picture.
Just
red.
You know what my first thought was? Oh, that's easy. It's just you don't have to worry about following a design.
Yeah.
But then I thought, how would you know what – anyway, I'll let you read the story. But how would you know where the pieces go?
It is just bizarre. Now, people have been going a little bit crazy in ISO. They're baking. They're doing, you know, online quizzes. And people are doing jigsaw puzzles. Personally, couldn't think of anything worse myself.
I don't mind a good jigsaw puzzle.
Rather pull my face off.
Oh, wow. That's pretty extreme. What about Jenga? We played Jenga once.
Yeah, I hated that too. I don't like games.
Who won?
I played Monopoly.
Who won Jenga?
You won. And then I played Monopoly on Mother's Day and my son actually kicked my ass and it was just not cool.
That's hilarious.
It might be the slowest puzzle on earth, which has been the statement that Heinz have used to advertise it, which is not ideal. In aid of the brand's 57 different sauce varieties, there's 570 pieces to the puzzle, which are all red. So ketchup-coloured, as they like to call it. Yeah. So you can put the edges of the puzzle together quite easily, and the rest will probably take you to the year 2417.
2400. That's a long way away.
They're also giving away 57 lucky fans in honour of their 57 sauce varieties. They're giving 57 lucky fans the chance to win one of their puzzles as well. Now, do not go looking for it now. It's closed. It closed a few days ago. But people are now saying they want to like be able to buy them. Now, I don't know what you're thinking, because I wouldn't even enter a competition like that, because I couldn't think of anything worse than sitting there doing a jigsaw puzzle of red colours.
You know, I've got one observation. Watching your face as you're reading that, saying it's, what they say, it's the world's slowest puzzle.
Yep.
Now, you rolled your eyes. Have you got somewhere else to be? We're in lockdown at the moment. What people have at the moment plenty of is time.
So I'm a bit of a neat freak. I like everything in its place. And we all know that you will not finish a puzzle in about 10 minutes unless you get one of those kids' ones for three-year-olds that's got those little hat topper things on the top that you can actually put your hands on and pull them out, and you've got to just get the same shape. Yep. Like, I can do that. I can nail those. Like, I'm all over them.
I think puzzles have been a great thing to keep people a little bit mentally challenged, I think, through this nasty time. I don't mind a good puzzle, but I get a bit bored with them.
I don't like it being half done on the table and sitting there for days or weeks at a time, because I want to wipe the table down, or I just don't want anything on the table, actually.
You don't think from the outside of the puzzle, doing the corners, so at least you know there's a straight edge. So but what goes where? How do you even get the corner? So the corner parts and or the side edges would even be really difficult, because there's no reference point. It's red.
Are people that do puzzles quite patient, like generally?
Probably by why we don't do puzzles.
I've zero interest. Like, I've got no interest sitting here even talking about this
puzzle. I would love to do that puzzle and have it completed and put it in a frame.
Yeah.
Because that would be quite unique. You would never see that again. Now, I can almost guarantee you that the marketing department who come up with that behind are not the marketing department that come up with the toaster for the toaster.
What I would do is actually just create a red piece of something on the computer and then put a jigsaw puzzle outline on it, and then just print it out and say, hey, look what I did. I'd do that.
I would love to
get
that.
Look at me, I'm genius.
They could just go and sell those things. Why would you close it?
Who knows?
Probably sell thousands of them.
Stupid, 57 of them.
Well done, Hines. Hey, well done to the handyman over in the UK also that's transformed his garden shed into a fully stocked pub.
Oh.
Complete with all the drinks he could ever want and a karaoke machine to keep the family entertained during lockdown.
La, 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 la.
Apologies to all our podcast listeners out there. With the world continuing to navigate the coronavirus pandemic and people forced to self-isolate and social distance, it's been a very long time since anyone's been able to set foot in a pub.
Yeah, okay.
Things are changing a little bit now.
Yes.
We'll listen back to episode two when we've done 647,000 episodes and think, oh, I remember those quarantine days.
I'll still be doing that jigsaw then too.
Probably. Nipping out for a cheeky Nando's and a pint is a thing of the past for most people.
I know.
But it doesn't have to be. One man has taken matters into his own hands and created his very own pub in his back garden inside his shed. David Higby.
Good on you, Dave.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. David and the Higby family from Leof C in Essex has spent 2 years giving his 20-foot shed a makeover and finished his efforts just in time for lockdowns, like he had it planned.
Good on you. Well done.
It was coming, wasn't it? Isn't it? The 56-year-old was inspired by the pub, the Mitre in Camden, which his partner's parents used to run.
Okay.
Now, when Amanda's mum and dad passed away, he decided to pay tribute to them by recreating the beloved pub. He even tracked down the original pub sign.
Well done,
David. The makeshift pub has real brickwork inside and 22,000 pennies individually stuck to one of the walls.
Beautiful.
I'm assuming that the pub probably had those as well. 22,000 pennies.
That is seriously.
How much is that worth?
Called 22,000 pennies.
22,000 cents. David also filled the place with furniture and fittings he purchased from eBay and Facebook Marketplace. The bar is fully stocked with all the beverages you could ever wish for. There's draft pumps, a darts board on the wall, and even a karaoke machine to keep David and Amanda entertained.
This is the best thing ever, although the patrons will never change. Like, you won't be able to pick up any new chicks at the bar unless you go, like, to Zoom or, like, go live on Facebook or something.
It'd be Zoom dating.
Yeah, it could be.
Is that a thing at the moment?
Don't know.
Like, online dating. Why wouldn't you just use Zoom? Why isn't there Zoom dates?
People are being quite creative with their hookups. That's what I'm saying. Oh. I mean, they're meeting in aisle 7 down at the supermarket.
All the hard work on the place was recently completed and they can't wait to show it off to all their love fans. When all this shit is over, I'm having the biggest party ever. All welcome, David said.
Good on you, Dave.
When all this shit is over,
yeah,
I'm having all my friends over for a party.
This is so cool. I'm going to go.
Good on you, David. That makes you just want to go out and have a drink.
I want a drink with Dave. This is The Source with Cindy and Daz. We'll be back very soon.
An important message from the Victorian Government about coronavirus. To help us make informed decisions about restrictions and slow the spread of coronavirus, testing has been widened to include anyone who's showing mild flu-like symptoms, has a sore throat, a runny nose, a cough, or a cold. If you think you may have coronavirus, get tested and save lives. For more information, including where to get tested, visit coronavirus.vic.gov.au. Victorian Government, managing this together.
The Source with Cindy and Daz, all the weird and wacky stuff you might have missed this week.
This is The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
Coming up, a man in California has been arrested dressed only in his underwear.
Cannot wait for that. Looking forward to it.
Got his jocks on.
A new report has just been released. Samuel L. Jackson has just lost his crown for most swear words in a movie.
Whoa.
Just might beep that one out.
Back up the truck.
Now, the very important report has just been released into which actors have been recorded swearing the most in movies.
You just want to swear, don't you?
I think I'm on top of the most swear words in our podcast. The Bosons of Buzz Bingo have studied over 3,500 movie scripts recording the Fs and Jeffs one by one. Okay. The people at Buzz Bingo and the Boffins at Buzz Bingo have obviously got nothing else to do with their time at the moment, like most of us. These were then attributed to actors as part of their far-reaching academic analysis called Profanity on Film.
Okay.
Okay, with closer inspection, looks like actually a PR exercise by the bingo company, but someone's counted this up a lot, okay, so let's go with it.
All right.
Samuel L. Jackson, considered the elite performer in the swears on screen field.
You love this, don't you?
I love it. He'll be disappointed to find himself down in third place.
Oh.
You know what he would have said? That's weird. What he was said. But like he said in Long Kiss Goodnight, when you make an assumption, you make an ass out of you and umption. Perhaps surprisingly, the champion of the cuss is Jonah Hill.
Who? Oh!
His role in Wolf on Wall Street, or Wolf of Wall Street, pushed him to the top of the shop with co-star Leonardo DiCaprio just behind in second because they did say the F-bomb quite a few times in it. I love that movie.
Love that you've just cleaned it up a little bit. Well done.
I was watching the producer staring at him. The top 10 were heavily influenced by a handful of top movies also listed shortly. Now, before I look at the list here, are you a fan of swearing in – actually, I'm going to expand this. Are you a fan of swearing in movies? And are you a fan of nudity in movies?
Can I just go back one? Am I a fan of swearing? Mm-hmm. Yes.
But not in movies, but just in swearing in general.
In the right context and depending on the audience.
Right.
So right now I'm a little bit cross with you.
Okay.
Okay.
I can tell.
Yeah.
You're breaking out over there. So you're okay with swearing in movies if they're in the right context. Someone's a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
Like Samuel L. goes a little bit over the top, although he's in third position at the moment.
I just think words are words at the end of the day, aren't they?
I agree. What about nudity?
I need to be really careful here. Really careful. Well,
you don't have to be careful. Well, this is our podcast. You don't have to be careful at all.
I know, but it depends on who's nude, actually, to be honest.
So Bradley Cooper decided to be nude. You'd have no problem with that.
Get your gear off. Why not?
Wow. You'd get your gear off while they were getting their gear off.
I think I'd scare them. I don't want to do that.
Dear me. The only reason I brought up nudity is because someone was writing about it last week to say, I don't think it's really all that necessary. And again, in context.
No, you're just interested in nudity.
Correct. Now, let's have a look at the top 10 here. Now, some of these names here you might not recognise, but our listeners will probably know. Danny McBride, he's a bit of a potty mouth. He's coming at number 10. Now, the numbers that have been put against this is the amount of swear words that's been done on an average. So, he's at 136. Bradley Cooper at 142.
Okay.
I thought Brad was a bit of a clean mouth.
Yeah.
Maybe on the, what was the movie he was in?
Bradley Cooper.
Hangover.
Which one? So Hangover. Many. Yeah.
Probably swore a little bit there. Maybe swore a little bit in the one with the Lady Gaga in it.
Oh, I love
Drop
that
movie. The F-bomb in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen at 143. Billy Bob Thornton, 145 at number 7. Denzel Washington at number 6 at 183. Now, I don't think Denzel swore all that much in movies.
I think Denzel is a classy swearer.
Love Denzel.
If you can have a classy swearer, I reckon that's him.
I love Denzel. Mm. Al Pacino at number 5 at 255 swear words. Mm. Adam Sandler at number 4, no surprise there. 295. Samuel L. Jackson at 201 or 301, that should be, at third place. He would be very annoyed. And, of course, Leonardo DiCaprio, 361, and Jonah Hill, 376. So Jonah and Leonardo have scooped the list after their acts and portrayal of actors and players in Wolf of Wall Street, which is a great movie. Now, if Samuel L. Jackson is half the man we think he is, we can't wait for the opening scene of his next movie because I think he will just go all out.
I think so too. Number three, disappointed
for you, Samuel L.
Want to... I also want to say this is the next story I will not be swearing in, just for your information.
You go for your life if you want.
G-rated. Although, is it? A man in California was arrested dressed only in his underwear after he was filmed jumping onto the side of a speeding wine tanker on a freeway before allegedly, geez, I love that word, allegedly unscrewing a valve and drinking from it. He was thirsty.
Do you think he was up for a dare or something?
I don't know.
Or just thirsty.
Well, the wine tanker's got onboard cameras. So they've shown the man that's driving a blue car flagging the truck to pull over. So the driver, believing that he might have had a mechanical issue or something, has pulled over to the side of the road. That's when the barefoot man wearing only his jocks stepped out of the car and for some reason popped his boot. We don't know why. The truck driver, uneasy at the sight, pulled his truck back onto the freeway, thought this guy's a doofus. Let's go.
A barefoot doofus.
A barefoot.
That's pretty impressive in itself.
Doofus. I think so, in his jocks, no shoes. So he's jumped onto the truck, onto the side of the truck at that point, and the truck's like now going down the freeway. Now, then he crawls underneath the tank where he, again, I'll use the word allegedly, don't you love that word? Mm-hmm. Unscrewed a valve and just, he was a bit thirsty. He just started to drink and drink and drink. More than 3,700 litres of wine was lost. Now, the driver's driving his truck down the freeway. He's noticing little droplets of wine.
They're not worrying about the drunk, barefooted, dropping, underpants-wearing thief hanging off the bottom of his tanker.
No. Multiple US news outlets identify the arrested man as 39-year-old Gabriel Morneau. Good on you, Gabriel.
And the Morneau families.
And the Morneau families. Writing on Facebook, the county sheriff's office in California said Morneau had been driving on a suspended license and was also arrested for felony vandalism as well. But the story doesn't end there. The sheriff's office also wrote that after the man was released from the lockup early last week, he had made complaints that he wasn't served a sandwich in the jail.
Classic.
He was a little bit cross. Like he, you know, he had a little drink. He might have got a bit peckish and there was no food for him.
Did he practice social distancing?
Good
was
question.
He all over that?
Good. Well, I imagine he would have been. There would have been no one else on that truck drinking wine. I couldn't have thought so.
He didn't apply the hashtag stay home.
No.
Or stay at home, as some people are saying.
No, I think he had the hashtag drink wine.
Now, if you put up for a question without notice, if you put up a bet to see if you could just outrun a tanker with your undies on and barefoot to take a sip of the goods out of the tanker while it was hurtling down the freeway, would you take on that bet?
I'd just go to the local shop and tap my card on and off and buy whatever's on special that week in a bottle, unscrew that bottle and get it into me. There's not a chance. That's a stupid question. I can't imagine you would have done the same thing.
I might have.
You don't drink wine.
No, well, I wouldn't have for wine. Beer truck maybe. Who knows what you might have done.
Love it. This has been another episode of The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter.
Now, if you missed our podcast, you don't know how to find us, you can check us out on extrabutter.com.au or jump onto Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And there's like multiple platforms we're on as well, but those two guys are probably the big hitter. So just type in The Source with Cindy and Daz and you will find us.
More weird and wacky stories coming up next week. We'll see you then.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Source with Cindy and Daz, thanks to Byron Bay Peanut Butter. For more episodes, head to extrabutter.com.au.